but you crumble inside. You could put up a screen, try to steal our time. When I dream and I dream, we know how to shine, yeah. Frodo lost the ring, some CEOs walking around with blame. Got to take it back, it's a fact, empire's an ugly thing. Frodo lost the ring, some CEOs walking around with the blame. Got to take it back, it's a fact, empire's an ugly thing. You say greed is good, you put up a sign, tell us what we need, but we will not buy. You say we don't fit inside beauty's walls. You can put up a billboard, we'll watch it fall, yeah. Frodo lost the ring, some CEOs walk around with the blame. Got to take it back, it's a fact, empire's an ugly thing. Frodo lost the ring, some CEOs walk around with the blame. Got to take it back, it's a fact, empire's an ugly thing. The fence is standing tall, but shaking. Greed's an ugly seed, don't let it blow into your garden. Sing it again, Lord. Frodo lost the race, some CEOs walk around with the blame. Got to take it back, it's a fact, empire's an ugly thing. Frodo lost the race, some CEOs walk around.
And we are told by our government and our newly crowned Prime Minister we will not be silent. And we are here to say unequivocally that we want the troops out of Afghanistan. And we want the war in Iraq to end and the occupation to end in Iraq and in Palestine. All right, we have a great lineup of speakers today. And I'm going to start by first introducing myself. My name is Itat Said. I'm a member of StopWar.ca, and I'm a member of the Palestine Solidarity Group. So on behalf of Stop War, we welcome you all, and we thank you for coming out and staying mobilized. I'm going to now introduce our co-MC, Derek O'Keefe, who is an editor of Seven Oaks Mag at sevenoaksmag.com, as well as the co-chair of StopWar.ca. Derek.
Thank you, Intret, and thank you, Vancouver. I just have a note passed to me that David Emerson could not make it out today. Apparently, we didn't have adequate financial or otherwise inducements to get him out to the rally today, so I need someone to get up here with his phone number and his email of his constituency office. We're going to get text messages fired off to David Emerson, the only conservative MP in the city of Vancouver. It was as if we had that plan. We're going to get you David Emerson's, I don't see a phone number, we'll get it to you. Emerson couldn't be here, but we're out today, and people are out in over 35 cities and towns across Canada, from St. John's, all the way from St. John's to Victoria to Comox, all throughout BC, the Kootenays, the North. There's a rally in Yellowknife, I think they're out on the streets of Whitehorse today. We've probably got the best weather, but we're all standing today, coast to coast to coast, against war and against Stephen Harper's complicity with George Bush, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, and the rest of the warmongers in Washington. You might have seen one or two stickers or posters around town that said, "War no more." We hope it's a catchy slogan. We hope you like it. It's going to be, unfortunately, relevant for a little while. Yet, with a minority conservative government, with George Bush in power another 2 years, with the system and war and empire getting more and more blatant. Imagine George Bush launching the biggest airstrike since the war started a few days before the whole world is out protesting. It's unbelievable. So today they're saying war no more in Australia, Japan, in Africa, all across Europe, in South America, in Venezuela, in Cuba, in Haiti. And we're not just saying war no more, although that's important. What that means is war no more, and it means racism no more, it means torture camps no more, it means close down Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib and everywhere else. It means the warfare of unnecessary poverty throughout the quote-unquote undeveloped world. It means injustice no more. It means all of those things that we fight for, all of the basic human values that are being denied by the people, by the powers that be today. Unfortunately, one of our local powers that be recently made a decision to cancel a meeting of peace mayors in Vancouver. Apparently, something about the budget being a little higher than projected, so I expect the announcement about the Olympics closing to come very shortly. To tell us more about the local front, and a longtime peace activist, we have someone here with us today, Jeff Keithley, Executive Director of the World Peace Forum, happening this June in Vancouver. Give it up for Jeff, please.
Thanks, Derek. We are here on the third anniversary of the invasion of Iraq, an invasion that was founded on a pack of lies. There were no weapons of mass destruction. There were no connections to Al-Qaeda. But there were hundreds of thousands of Iraqis, hundreds of thousands of Iraqi children died as a result of 10 years of sanctions. A once vibrant nation, albeit with some problems, destroyed, all based on lies. Now, Canadians take some reasoned pride that we did not follow Bush into Iraq directly. Jean Chrétien was worried about the electoral fallout if he did, because the Canadian population would not and will not support it. Paul Martin feared to enter into Star Wars because the Canadian population would not put up with it, and he was fearful of the electoral fallout. We sent our troops to Afghanistan in an ostensibly peacekeeping mission, effectively to replace U.S. troops that could then be redeployed to Iraq. So we played a surrogate role there. But what's more shameful is that without any debate, without any decision, without any exit strategy, and I spent 25 years bargaining with the Canadian auto workers, and I never got myself into a fight I couldn't get myself out of. We have no exit strategy. We now have, for the first time since Korea, which ended when I was 3 years old, the first time since Korea that Canadian troops are in a combat mission, inflicting casualties and taking casualties. Without any debate with a prime minister who says that we didn't have a debate before, so we can't have a debate now. And of course, that logic says we'll never have that debate. A prime minister who says, and I quote, "We have to remember why we're here. On September 11th, 2001, we saw the terrible events of the World Trade Center that cost over 24 Canadian lives," Harper told a Kabul news conference. "We can ignore the dangers if we want, but the dangers will not ignore us unless we control the security situations in country like Afghanistan. We will see our own security diminished. Unless we control the security in countries like Afghanistan." And when I read that, I wondered if the 49th parallel had dissolved and we'd been absorbed as the 51st state. I wondered whether we were listening to George Bush or whether we were listening to Stephen Harper, and it didn't take too long to figure out, you know, it doesn't make a damn bit of difference. But there is something we can do about it. You're doing about it here, and I know that you folks are going to be there. We're having, for the first time on the planet, a World Peace Forum here in Vancouver, like so many other creative things started in Vancouver, from June 23rd to 24th, to 28th. We expect 4,000 to 5,000 people to come from around the world, and we want you folks there. This is a people's conference. We're going to make a difference. Our purpose is to we only have a simple thing we want to do. We want to change the world. We want to bring about a culture of peace and sustainability that people come to Vancouver, they go back to their organizations, they go back to their unions, to their women's groups, to their farmers' groups, to their countries and regions, and they begin to consciously build a culture of peace. So just like Jean Chrétien was fearful of going into Iraq, just like Paul Martin was fearful of signing on to our Star Wars, we create a world where governments are fearful of being against their people. And only the people can do that. So we want you to go to our website. It's up there, WW World Peace Forum. Sign on. There's an early bird rate. Human beings are going to make a difference. If you can afford it, give us a donation. Get the word out there. Because we can only make a difference when people make the difference. This is not a top-down organization. We've had our fun with certain people on the other side of False Creek. We'll continue to have that. But let's give me a sample. Some of you have seen the leaflet. On the last day of the peace conference, the peace boat from Kobe, Japan, after their 4 months dedicated voyage to support the World Peace Forum, will arrive in Vancouver, their last port of call before going back to Kobe, Japan. One of our organizers, the Dukobor history, our last day is the 28th, and keep this in mind. This is a brilliant idea. On June 28, 1895, in three Russian towns, the Dukobors gathered to burn their arms and vow never to pick up a weapon again. And so Sam came up with this idea that the BC Teachers Federation, Canadian Teachers and the Education International are picking up, of asking kids and students to turn in their war toys and have it made into sculpture in the commemoration of peace. We have the September 11th, Families for Peaceful Tomorrow coming. The supposed reason that Harper and Bush say this started, they're coming to Vancouver to say, this is not acceptable. We want peace. Our families may have been victimized, but that does not justify what we're doing here. We've got the International Peace Education Conference part of that. Noam Chomsky will be with us by satellite. And we're going to have make sure you mark your calendars for Saturday the 24th. I see no reason why we cannot have 50,000 people out in the streets for a peace festival, peace walk. Thank you very much. Go to our website, join with us.
Thank you, Jeff. All right, as part of our work at StopWar.ca, we initiated this this semester, for this March, a essay contest for all high school students in the Lower Mainland. And we had a great response of students from all grades who wanted to write incredibly powerful essays on what the concept of War No More means to them. So we have two winners of that contest here today who'll be reading their essays. So we have one student who's ready to go, and I just want to announce the name of the second student so she can come up to the stage so we can be ready for her. Julianne, if you're here, please come up to the stage. Great. So we're going to start with their first student, Alicia Randawa, who's a grade 12 student at Dave Thompson. Give her a big welcome.
War is the antithesis of all that we value. The irony is that many people try to justify engaging in war by claiming that it protects those very values. Some say war is an inevitability that is part of human nature. Precedent shows us that war generally occurs to fulfill the selfish interests of the few, not the many, leaving the poor most adversely affected. The leaders of the world, whether they be elected or not, have long justified war and the subsequent suffering and destruction by claiming that it is the only way to preserve ideals such as democracy. It's difficult to accept the idea that the most effective way of protecting or introducing democracy to a nation is by killing people. The writers of the American Institution would shudder to think that the United States invaded Iraq merely to pursue a vendetta of its president. This invasion, which was based on Iraq's possession of weapons that turned out not to exist, is yet another example of how war is fought in the interests of the few. Arms manufacturers may profit, but it is the poor and disenfranchised of Iraq and America who bear the brunt of the casualties. The sad reality is that war weakens rather than strengthens democracy and human rights, as demonstrated by the torture of prisoners at Abu Ghraib. War is often justified by the claim that it will benefit future generations, but in fact it has the opposite effect. It brings out the worst in the young, poor, and overwhelmed soldiers who comprise the majority of the U.S. Army as well as the Shiite militia. Families are broken, young men are killed, young women are raped, children are orphaned, and many young people still in their teens are drawn into a conflict that will leave permanent scars on an entire generation. Hatred, greed, and the compulsion to control form the foundation of war. Those same perilous emotions are then manifested in the collective soul of a targeted people. A world without war would mean that a generation of children would be given the opportunity to fully develop and realize their potential. A world without war would mean an end to the military-industrial complex, and with it an end to the constant cycle of modernizing and increasing military capabilities. An end to war could mean the beginning of the end of absolute poverty in third world countries. A world without war would mean that humanity has come to value security, multilateralism, and human life, instead of nationalism and materialism. Thank you.
Let's have another round of applause for that incredible essay, high school student. Thank you, Alicia. We also had a university category, and one of the best slogans that we see at a lot of the anti-war rallies, and it's got to be out there somewhere because we have some students here today, is just very simple, and it reflects where our priorities should be, and that's money for education, not for war. Money for education, not for occupations. We have with us a student, I believe, a student of writing, as you'll see. So I just, without any further ado, I will introduce Julianne Ocote Vitek. Please give her a warm welcome.
I'm 27 years ago. I wrote my first No More War piece for to be published. I was 11 years old. Sadly, we continue to fight today. So a couple of days ago, a few days ago when I entered this, I entered it with sadness, knowing that, you know, we're still fighting, we're still in wars, and lots of people are dying. So 27 years later from 1979, this is what I think about what No More War means to me. War No More is a rallying cry that emotes the frustration we feel as witnesses to the seemingly never-ending wars that continue to pain and destruction world over. We are tired of war. War No More means we must stop engaging in warring. We must redirect our energies to the creation of peace. In a poem, For Whom the Bell Tolls, John Donne wrote, "No man is an island. Every man is a piece of the main. So never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for you." Every day we witness the horrors from another remote part of the world. We hear the bell tolling for us. We bear witness. We whisper if we must. No more, no more, no more war. Sometimes we feel helpless, so we join throngs worldwide like today. We march against state, against religion. We challenge our political leaders to do something. We send letters, we sign petitions, remind ourselves to remain sensitive and not to turn away from the gory images in the media. These children are ours. These children are our children. Sometimes we bow our heads in prayer. Sometimes we cry, no more war. But this war cry goes out into the air, bounces and bounds back and settles inside us. It's not just directed at external destruction around us. At the local level, we ignore the screams at night from the neighbor experiencing domestic violence. We turn away from street children that we understand have fled violence in their homes. We forget the legacies of colonialism, slavery, and globalization. With shades affixed to our faces, we pretend we can't see. We scorn the run-down people. If only they could just forget the past and work as hard as we do. We refuse to vote for the progressive thinking politicians, convincing ourselves that they are better as the opposition. The economy, the same one that doesn't allow for us all to move forward together, is much, much more important, we say. We forget that we're all in this together, and the bell is tolling for us, and we are all part of the mainland. The earth is a watery blue image from outer space. It must be impossible to discern between the war makers and the peacemakers. It must be impossible to hear the cries of anguish and pain and frustration. Scientists tell us of other scars that are visible from that distance. They tell us of the effects of erosion, deforestation, desertification, and pollution. The silence from beyond our atmosphere is the ultimate imposition for us to take responsibility for how we keep our home on Earth. This Earth, this place is ours. It's all of ours. War No More is a rallying cry to stop the fighting, stop the misery, and stop the destruction. War No More must propel us to make peace with ourselves and take our energies into serving and preserving and making available the fruits of the earth to all of us. Thank you all for coming today.
Thank you. Let's have another round of applause for a spectacular essay against war. Julianne, thank you. We may not have mentioned what a spectacular program we have for you today. Like I said, this is the best weather any of the anti-war protesters have in Canada, so you're going to need to stick around. We're going to get the energy going here with some music and some chanting. Just as we get set up for our various musical acts, I want to remind you that we have some speakers coming up that are worth sticking around for. We have Dr. Sonera Tabani, professor at UBC and longtime activist. We have Kyle Snyder, a U.S. war resister, now residing in Canada. And we also have Patrick Ely, who has come to speak for us here today, all the way from Haiti. He's doing a tour of Canada, and he's going to speak about that. And I believe we also have Greg Rollins of the Christian Peacemaker Teams, who was in Baghdad at the time of the kidnappings of the peacemaker activists in the fall, and is a longtime activist and has been in Iraq for many, many months since the occupation began. If I don't get crowded up by the musicians, David Emerson's not here. no conservative MPs here. I don't know. I just want to announce who we do have here as our elected officials who are standing today with us for peace and justice. We have a new politician, Spencer Herbert, who's on the Culp Parks Board, on your city parks board here in Vancouver. We have NDP MLA for Vancouver Kensington, sorry, David Chanosky is here with us today. The foreign affairs of the peace critic for the New Democratic Party federally, Don Black, MP in New Westminster. And we have someone who's been at many, many of these anti-war rallies before. We have a longtime Vancouver East MP and activist, Libby Davies. Please give her a warm welcome. If you're here, if there's conservatives that I've slandered, come up and tell us that you stand against your government's policies.